אולי היינו שנינו מחייכים היום.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra. Create what you speak with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept on myself the due commandment, the utterance of love your friend, love your neighbor, your partner in the same way to express love to yourself. The moment that was the moment that is also was. The words that are said are gone with the wind. They're gone with the breath that accompanied them. They're going with the breath towards someone, somewhere. Maybe they know of the words that I spoke towards them. Maybe they don't. If I could only go back a few words, take a sentence back, draw a few new pictures with my words. It's like sending an arrow from a bow. It's like waking up in the morning and the night has passed. The words flew. The words flew and had the night be upon them. Come into a new morning, hopefully with new words, but the words that were sent already were sent. What if we could go back a few words? What if we could take these sentences, these colors that came with these sentences, and paint a new picture? What if we could go back? Would the canvas be still white? Would the brush be still wet? So we can dip it in another color? The words that came from these thoughts, the words that appeared to be full of light, at night they turn dark, sending this energy of confusion, of uncertainty towards you. The vibration, the feeling of these words when they came out felt good at the time. Not seeing beyond the reach. What if we could take everything back? Would we still be smiling? would we still be exchanging? Exchanging words, exchanging feelings. It is these words that cultivate the feelings. The feelings of what if we could take our words back. But at this point, at this moment, that was. I keep striving to look forward to the next moment where my words and my thoughts are aligned with my heart. And it gets closer. And we get it. And then we don't. And it is the dance of our words. It is the dance between us. It is the dance of how we say what we say. Not about what we say, but about how we say. And when the words hit this perfect consonant harmony frequency, the heart dances. We dance. We fly in between the words and we create a new picture. Words.
רק ניתן לחזור כמה
Shalom, welcome, happy week, happy Sunday. Yes, it is Sunday, of course, we're here. Milim, how many words? Mati Kaspi and Ehud Manor words. And, well, hello, this is, you are here at, oh, I don't know what happened to my English today. I feel like it is like, welcome, let's start again. Welcome, this is the Abracadabra Show. I'm Ilan Azulay, I'm your host. I'm a spiritual mentor, a sound healer, and a guide for you who are ready to reclaim your power. Power, your power, not power over someone else. And we are here every Sunday to discover words, to discover ways that we can communicate, because this medium is primarily, or probably only, words. So how do we say what we want to say and when we want to say? And this is in a relationship, in a work environment, between you and you, or if you have split personalities, between you and all your other existences. And so this is what we do today, and we have a wonderful guest again, Julie Bergman. Hello, Julie.
Hello, Ilan.
Yeah, so Julie was here last week, and we kind of, it's really fun having you on the show.
It's fun to be here with you.
Yeah, it's really fun. We go into interesting things, and today, as I started in the beginning, started with the with the utterance of loving the other, expressing love to the other in the same way that we express love to ourselves. And it is really the focus on ourselves first. And today, as I always talk about reclaiming your power, not over somebody, but for yourself, there are different ways that we can reclaim our power. How does it manifest in our day-to-day? And today I want to talk about words, how these words are coming out, but more specifically, what is called in Hebrew Lashon Hara, or negative talk about somebody else, or as we are familiar with the modern term of gossip. And so gossip is also positive and negative, and in either case there is a recommendation and advice not to speak of someone else unless there is a real detrimental reason, but specifically negative talk, something negative about the other person. And this week's portion of the Torah, before coming to Passover, which is next week, and it is, these are interesting times. This Passover is really, on the story level, it is about the Israelites that were delivered from bondage in Egypt. And just like everything, just like the spirit holds the matter, everything has a spiritual connotation and reason, and a way of for us to look at things and how to proceed and getting out of our own Egypt. But that will that is like in a preparation for getting out of our own Egypt. All these programs, all what we're talking about is really tools and really ways to look at certain things of how to get out of our own Egypt, of our own bondage, of our own jail time, or of our own structures. How can we see beyond the state that we are at this moment? How do we see the corner in that circle room? And so the portion of today is called Metzorah, from the plague leprosy. And the Torah, it says that when somebody speaks of somebody in a negative way, God brings on that person a physical ailment. Now, I want to differentiate, to add to this, it's not about, oh, if you do this, you're punished, you are going to be banned from the place of joy, but it is really a consequence. If we're talking about everything that is energy, and everything has a path, like if you make a right at the intersection, you will be going west and you won't be going east. And so you'll experience all that to experience on the west side of the city versus all the experiences that you'll experience on the east side of the city. So it is, one can look at it as like, oh, now you're being punished, or just now you chose a certain path that will lead you into a certain direction. And so what is it about this talking about somebody else? What is it? So I want to bring two points and then to have an open discussion. So there are two things of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is meaning in Hebrew the evil tongue or the negative speech. But the literal explanation is the evil tongue. And King Solomon said, life and death is at the tongue's mercy. Chaim v'mavet b'yad ha-lashon, at the tongue's hand, but... yeah. That's a literal translation. So, when we insult somebody in public, Julie, were you insulted once in public?
Definitely, more than once. Actually.
So, how did you feel?
Humiliated, embarrassed, less than.
Uh huh.
And, in a way, at least I felt that I wanted to just go hide somewhere.
Do you remember the physical reaction? What happened in your body? What happened in your... How did your body react? Like,
well, it's not... It's funny because it's not unlike the feeling that I've had before when you're in shock from something.
Mm-hmm.
Everything sort of stops and slows down and you get very tense and almost don't hear anything else except for what the person is saying.
What the person is saying, yeah. So, see, so what happens is the blood... When somebody is insulted in public, like what is happening, your blood is rushing to your head, right? Mm. It's rushing to your head, and then eventually it settles. But first it rushes, and that's the time where you don't hear anybody. You don't hear anybody, whatever they say. What you just heard what that person said to you in the forum that you were, right? That caused your... In the according to Gemara, it says in the Gemara, "De'atzil sumaka ve'atechivraya," meaning, first you become blushed, and then you become pale, and so that is attributed to some. When the person does this to a person, it's some sort of killing. It's some sort of killing. It's because the movement of the blood to the place that it moves in the fashion, and because of the reason that it was moved, is not natural to creation. It is not natural for the state of the person. So the Gemara is referring to some sort of shfichut damim, of spilling blood. It's like some sort of spilling blood. And so when we are, when, so this is one state. This is, well, when we do that, I mean, you know, if you insult somebody in public, I don't know, at some point you feel, I hope, or natural thing, that it is, there was something uneven also for the person who does that.
Well, often I think what happens is, first of all, if you're the person who's been humiliated and all you can concentrate on in that moment is how you're feeling at the hand of the person who's doing it, the temptation is... Or rather, it's impossible in that moment, at least it was for me, to differentiate between myself and what I was believing to be true and what that person was either accusing me of or spewing at me. So you're in this kind of strange, altered state, really.
Yeah.
And then what happens is that there's a deconstruction, hopefully, if that's a person that you know personally, where you're able to say to that person, listen, you know, I understand that you were upset, or I understand that you had a point of view to express, but first we have to get over the pain that you caused me. And then you have to also review, well, can someone else really cause you pain, or do you or do you experience the pain, and that's your responsibility essentially, and not give them the ability to create that for you.
Okay. So the power.
Yeah.
Give them the power, not to give them the power.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's a lot that happens after the humiliation before you can get to the root of whatever it was that the person was saying, which may have been valid. Who knows? Maybe what that person was saying was something you needed to hear, but you certainly didn't need to go through necessarily the killing in order to get there.
Yeah. So this is interesting, because what is happening actually, and I went that through that many times, of being feeling humiliation, feeling shame, because everything eventually boils down to the shame. The shame is like the lowest energy, and the frequency, everything boils down to there, and it comes from different places. So what you described was very interesting, because the deconstruction, what is happening is, if it happens once, and maybe the person is not aware of, but you know, I feel that they have to happen several times, or several times for the person, let's say, to be humiliated, especially if it's on a certain one particular topic, one particular thing that the person is actually struggling with in life, and then the person that is humiliating, doing it in public, is doing what they're doing. It doesn't mean that what they're saying is not true, but the way that it is being delivered is a whole different thing. So what is happening, because we're like in the Venn diagram, because we're like in the flower of life, we're connected, right? So what the person said serves my journey. Maybe I need to come to a place of deconstruction of the identity, or even building a deconstruction of the ego, of ego death, or in certain places. And I know that situation that happened with me caused me a huge deconstruction and break and the whole thing. So it is the step that is happening after, really, after what came down for in the group where you were, or where we were humiliated or yes, felt that place.
Yes, and it's also true. I think about it a lot, or I did think about it a lot. Now, she's older. My daughter's 21. But as a parent, I thought about it a lot. I thought about, if I have a point of view, if I have something I want to say, or if there's a moment happening that needs to be attended to, how can I discuss it in a way that's not humiliating? Because I don't want her to concentrate on the humiliation. I want her to concentrate on the content of what I'm saying. And I think I felt sensitive about doing that, because I have had many opportunities to have to get over a public dressing down, so to speak, usually in a work situation, is how I experienced it.
Yeah. That is the common thing. I mean, we spend more than half of our life in work, for, you know, those who, you know, work on offices and whatnot, we spend with people. So it is really, so yeah, so this is a form of killing. But what happens when I talk to you about somebody else? I talk to you about somebody else, and I'm telling you, you know what, this person is A, B, C, and D, blah, 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 and this kind of thing. You know, so technically, let's say the third person is never going to find out. Is never going to find out that I said something negative about him or her.
Right.
So how is that affecting? And that is something is very interesting, because that is where in Judaism and in the Gemara, the killing of, or saying, speaking something, is in the grandeur sense like idolatry, like worshiping other gods.
Now, I wonder if it's also something else, which is, if we're all connected,
yeah,
then if something that someone has said or done is causing you anxiety, pain, frustration, anger, whatever. And you talk about that person to someone else in that mood that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe part of why it's considered to be a bit of a killing is because really if it's affecting you that way, it's part of you too. And that in a way you're hurting yourself as much as you're hurting the other person.
That is a good point. And what is happening because of that, because we are the flower of life, because we are all connected, okay, what it is doing, it is creating a separation. It is creating a separation between you and that third person that I was talking about. So maybe you two were close. And I just told you something that this person did, my experience with that person. What is going to happen? Your the purity of your connection is becoming impured. It's becoming stained. It's moving something in you that is causing some kind of an isolation between you and that third person. And so there is an isolation of the power. Mm-hmm. Now, if we are all connected, we are a contraction of the infinite light into this body, into such a low frequency and that we can handle it in our body.
Mm-hmm.
If we are all connected, if we are coming, if we are one fabric of connectedness, and I say something that is negative, and now you are affected, your relationship, and then and let alone when that person finds out, it creates a separation between the oneness. God and the Creator created us so we can eventually come back to the one. Mm-hmm. So we can eventually be one. In Judaism, this time after Passover, we're also it's not celebrating, it's remembering the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva that were perished, not because they were not in studying so well, but they were studying so much that it became a point of, well, if we are a speckle, then probably you are a speckle. Mm-hmm. Then I don't need to treat you. I just need to worry about my Torah and my da-da-da-da, and you are not important. And that's where the line was drawn, because the most important, also on Yom Kippur, when we are going for
atonement
and really digging back into our actions and into what we said and what we did, it is known that the matters between us and the Creator are like water under the bridge. But if there is something unresolved between me and you, it's never going to be under the bridge until the other person forgives and there is
resolution,
reconciliation, mm-hmm. resolution, coming together. Yeah. So,
but I also think that there's a differentiation between gossip and negative talk, which I completely understand the distinction between those things. And when you're seeking counsel for a situation you're in with a third person, and you're seeking counsel with someone that you trust, and you're sharing with someone a situation that needs to be attended to by you, and that in the process of explaining the situation, you may be expressing negative things about this third person that you're talking about. And maybe in that case, maybe it's not considered gossip. I don't know.
Well, here's what we say in Hebrew, and also here. Aikar hakavana. The most important thing is the intention.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for example, working with women that are in the midst of a divorce or after a relationship, you know, it's very easy and it's relieving. You have the feeling of getting something off your chest, right? Like, so you go, you meet with friends, and you talk about what happened during the divorce, during what he did or how she did or how she acted or how he acted and so forth. The point is to see what is the intention? What is the point of doing this? Now, if somebody is talking to their psychologist, their therapist, going through something, the intention there that the person is coming is to heal. So there is some kind of a energetic container that is created. When I work with somebody, there is an energetic container that is created, a safety container that is created where everything is here for the purpose of being here, not for the purpose of going out. That is why it's also important when I do ceremonies, it's important for the participants not to share what the other person experienced or can share your experience. That's for different reasons, also not to take from the experience of another person.
Exactly.
But especially also not to fall into some kind of an unnecessary talk about somebody that could turn negative. But what you're saying is let's say in a situation like that, or a counselor, you need to say something, you need to discover ways to communicate, let's say, with your ex
I was also thinking about it though in terms of, you know, let's say you're separated from your partner, or you're divorced from your partner, and now you're braving the world of meeting other people, and you start having a relationship with someone, and inevitably there's a conversation that takes place, which is, so what happened between you and your partner that made you separate? So expressing that to another person who you may end up being intimate with helps them get to know you, right?
Not necessarily. I don't. Maybe so, but you see, the experience that this person, let's say if you're seeing somebody, the experience that you have with this person that you're seeing is completely different than the experience that you and the other person had. So what is happening, you're expressing what happened with you. And for example, I had many times when you go to watch a movie, okay, you hear somebody says, oh, this is a really crappy movie. And then you go and say, I love the movie. Well, it's the same thing about when somebody says something about somebody. They have a certain vibrational quality between one another. Something that is your difference. So now, there's also in Judaism, it's very strong to really not discuss other relationships, because what you are creating with this new person is really only for you. It's only for you to discover. And what has happened in other, although it's very tempting, and you know, you talk about, oh, what happened with him, what happened with her, how did this happen, all these kind of things. It is, it became almost something that we don't pay attention to, something that is so infused. But the relationship that you have with the person that you're talking now versus the relationship that you had with your ex is a completely different relationship. Also, maybe you've learned and you've grown from that experience. So what are you bringing in is your old stuff.
Well, that's the point, hopefully, right? The point is hopefully that...
Well, to bring the old stuff?
No, not to.
Not to bring the old stuff.
But there are going to be things that trigger the old emotions, perhaps.
Okay, yeah, that will happen.
It's kind of inevitable. And it's not something that should necessarily be an obstacle, because we're human, and because we have, as you've said many times very eloquently, we all have our own story, right? And so sometimes when you share the reason why something fell apart, you're hopefully also sharing the stuff that you've been through in order to get to the other side of that, that you hopefully aren't going to repeat. But it's valuable information, isn't it, for another person that you might be...
What is it good for? What is it good for? To share what happened, if I share with somebody what happened with the two or previous relationships. And not to say that I haven't done that. I've done that. You know, and sometimes it is... sometimes you share even something funny that happened and you're kind of making a joke about that. You know, so when that happened, I try to catch myself sometimes by the tail or by the tip of the tail, and to bring it back. The question is, sometimes it says, Well, what are we going to talk about? Well, there's so much to talk about. That is not derogatory, or there is not a, and it is hard, you know, it is hard to, and then it's very easy also to judge ourselves, because we are so used to criticize,
sure,
or to bring out certain points of other people. It's very easy to come to self-judgment, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that that's the growing, hopefully that's the growing curve that we go through, which is, you know, assessing the value of a relationship based upon its own value without comparing it to other things, and without bringing our past neuroses, mm-hmm, or whatever they may,
yeah,
be.
Yeah.
But I think it's because it's kind of inevitable that people are going to talk about dynamics they've had in previous relationships. I think maybe how, you know, what's the intention of it is really what it boils down to. If the intention of it is just to put the other person down or humiliate the other person and not be self-reflective about the part you played in it, then I think you're right. Then I think it's not valuable, and it's sort of maybe even poisons the space that, mm-hmm, you're in with this, mm-hmm, other person. But I have found it to be valuable to learn, you know, what are the things that are pressure points for somebody?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that frighten them? What are the things that bring them comfort and joy? What are the things that they didn't get from previous relationships, whether it was romantic or otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how you get to know whether you can meet that person on the same road that they're on.
Well, you can meet the same person on the same road that they're on, or join roads, not necessarily by talking negative about somebody else. I mean, unless you're sharing experiences. I mean, this can go, dive into what words and how words. And the thing of the matter is that when it happens, or when something happens, I'll share with you. I had a situation actually not long ago, that I paid somebody a certain amount of money for something that they returned, and I made an error and paid them twice, refunded them twice, and when the error very, very fast, it happened very fast that I recognized that the error was happened, I contacted the other person and asked for the money back, and eventually the person vanished. So what do you do in situations like these? You can say, okay, here is about reclaiming your power. This is one situation where you can say, well, you know what? You can look at it different ways. You can say, okay, I'm going to cut any ties with this person. That's it. I don't want to do anything. You clear yourself of the energy. But really, what are you doing? Are you just turning your other cheek to the other side? I mean, it is within how we do that we can express, bring the spiritual tools and the spiritual understandings into situations like this, and yet not fall into this maybe pattern of being a victim and being taken advantage of, and letting things slide. So there are things that you can reach out to a person. So this is what I did. I reached out to the person several times, and really one of the things in mysticism and Judaism is always try and judge the person to the plus. Judge the person to give them credit.
Benefit of the doubt.
Benefit of the doubt, as it says as we say in English. The benefit of the doubt. Why? Because ultimately, we don't know what happens on the other side. So the other side vanished. Very minimal interaction. And very vague interaction. And then so I was left with the question, okay, what do I do? So the communications were the communications that came from me were consistently on a maybe there is an error. Maybe there is an error on the receive on the medium that transferred funds. Maybe there is an error on this side. While all the time what appears to be is that the person just is vanishing and decided to keep the credit for themselves, and hey, they made an easy several hundreds of dollars, right? So this is where we can do what we need to do. We need to take one step towards where we want to go and let everything trickle down. And so there was a claim that I filed a claim in small claims court, and I do what I do to show that these are the steps, these are the facts, these are the facts of things that were documented, and today in digital age it's not hard to document all this. So we do something towards something. You give the benefit of the doubt as much as possible, but it doesn't mean that you are a doormat.
I think that's the key. And when you said earlier this idea of not being victims.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is definitely a pattern that people fall into in relationships where their their difficulty with their interaction or the demise of a relationship or an ongoing struggle in a relationship is someone starts to feel like a victim. And that's what happens when someone humiliates you, right?
Well, yeah.
You feel like a victim in that moment.
If you're not holding yourself and you don't say, well, this is his story, if you're not on real time, then yes, it can affect.
And sometimes in the real moment, especially if the humiliation is blindsiding you, you go into the fight or flight. And then hopefully after that, you're able to deconstruct it so mm-hmm. that you're not there mm-hmm. anymore, which is what you are describing you did. You know, initially, it's upsetting and difficult. And then you say, well, what can I do about it so that I don't stay in the victim?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the hardest thing for us to do as people is to reclaim that powerful place inside of us. And we don't define power very well in this society. You know, we think of it as a weapon more than anything else, the word power.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really not. You know, if everybody was able to come to difficult and not difficult situations from a place of power, people would be much calmer, much more peaceful, much more self-confident, and therefore they would treat each other better.
Yeah, that is... Yeah, I mean, it's a very nice description of how we want, how we hope for, and this is where we strive. We look at every small thing that we do. It's like checks and balances. We're checking and balancing ourselves. This is what I call trigger time, true time. It's from the time that we get triggered. I remember when I got triggered by this event, it took me probably, I don't know, few hours to start seeing everything, to bring it back. So it was while this was happening, while I was in it, I could also feel the duality of, you know how things are, right? You know that what she did is really not about you. So the person that did not refund the money, they got an easy access somehow, but it is not about me. They do that because this is how they are. This is how they deal with situations like this. And also one more thing that to say about when you are in, when you meet somebody or when you are in a new acquaintance instances, whatever, there is if the person is adamant about something, if the person you or the, and this is something also to pay attention to yourself, if there is something that is really, you're not going to budge, no left, no right, you're fanatic about something, you're adamant about something, this is something that is to be like a landmark to see that this is probably the issue that that same person is dealing with.
Yes.
So if somebody is so frantic about transparency, for example, or let's be transparent and very adamant, and every word, every single thing is being tied back to that, that is a sign, that is a hint for you that are experiencing that from the other person to know that there is something going on here. And in the Kabbalah, in the mystery, it really talks about this is the tikkun. There's something that you are really struggling with, or something that is so in front of you all the time, and you're leading with that. That is probably your tikkun. That is probably that which you are here to work on, part of it at least. There are many things that we can be triggered by, but at least that is power that you are, that is in you, that most of the time we project outside. And that's, by the way, what that person did. It was adamant about transparency, but then eventually that transparency manifested itself in its negativity.
Yes, and I think that the other side of that, of course, is that we all come to our lives with tikkun that we have to,
that's right,
deal with. And the question is, are we going to work through it from a place of strength, or are we going to work through it from a place of feeling like a victim?
That's right.
And the negative relationships or situations and experiences keep us from really evolving into what our tikkun is. Mm. It feels like
it is how we map our how do we map our experiences, how do we look at things, what place we're in when we make certain choices, what places we are in ourselves that helps us make choice A or choice B. You know, we can talk about this forever. We are nearing our end, and so this is what transpired this week, these last 2 weeks, and in preparation for really every time, every holiday, every moment in time has a different spiritual connotation, and this is where it is now. It is between you and the other, between me and you, between you and me, between us and us. And I want to thank you, Julie, for lending your creativity and your perception into here. And
it was a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you. And I leave you with this. I leave you with love. I leave you with the joy of words. The joy of words. The words are creation, creating. Abracadabra, create what you speak in Aramaic. I literally create what I speak. We create what I speak. Thank you, Julie. And you can visit on Facebook, facebook.com/bodysoulsound or bodysoulsound.com. Is it Julie Balcony?
Balcony Films.
Balconyfilms.com. Thank you. And I leave you with this, only with love and forgiveness and gratitude. Have a wonderful wonderful week. Beak too, if you're a bird. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week. Litraot. שלח למרות הכל
Listening to Abracadabra, create what you speak with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.